Day 17. Be aware of the cautions about growing indebtedness. We live in a time when probably the average family has $10,000 in unpaid credit card bills. Average family has about $10,000 in unpaid credit card bills. Most people have no idea of the degree of red ink that they've kind of racked up over the years. Proverbs 22:7 says, just as the rich rule over the poor, so the borrower is servant to the lender. The Bible does not say you cannot borrow. What the Bible says is one, you have to absolutely pay it back. And secondly, there's a principle of what's called surety. You violate the principle of surety. In other words, you take on an obligation without a sure way to pay. That's what's happening with a lot of people in America today. They have a home that they cannot sell for the amount they owe on it. So they are in a position of surety. There used to be what was called an exculpatory clause in the banking industry, which said this: if you buy a house and you can't make payments on it, the bank gets the house. So in other words, the commitment, the debt was collateralized against the asset. So literally, the bank would get the house, but you would walk away free. You would have lost what you put into it, but you owe nothing. Today we live in a world where people are upside down. They may have had a $300,000 house. The market today is $210,000, but they owe $260,000 on that house, just in a four-year swing. And so they are in a position of surety. They have an obligation with no sure way to pay. So the Bible has tremendous cautions about this whole idea of indebtedness. And the reality is by being intentional, you can move out of indebtedness. Warren Buffett, the guy that just gave $1 billion to the Gates Foundation, he made this quote: if you're smart, you won't need debt. If you're not smart, debt will be a poison in your life. Think about that. If you're smart, you won't need debt. If you're not smart, debt will be a poison in your life. Romans 13:7. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay all your debts except the debt of love to one another. You can never finish paying that. Psalm 37:21. The wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers. The godly are generous givers. And then finally, Proverbs 21:5. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. One of the things I discovered about indebtedness is it will sometimes short-circuit what God might have done. It will short-circuit what God might have done. He may have ways to provide it for you, but by going with the indebtedness route, you miss it. One time at the camp I was at, we were building a lodge, and we were getting right to almost the summer, and people had reserved this lodge space. The thing wasn't done. My wife and I had gotten an inheritance, a generous inheritance from her family. And so at the time we were on missionary support, we made about $20,000 a year. But we received this inheritance. And so there's this board meeting coming up in the spring to what are we going to do about the building. The only way to get it done is to borrow. That was the thinking. We're out of money. To get it done, we're going to have to borrow. Now, nobody would have faulted us for borrowing. We went and got a construction loan. It would have been no big deal. So that wouldn't have been a problem. But they're coming up to the board meeting, and they had a no-debt policy. So they have the discussions, and so nobody knows that Sandy and I have gotten an inheritance. That's unknown. I'm just on missionary support. No one's looking at me for any kind of money. But we talked about it, and we were like, well, if they decide to borrow, well, then good. Then we don't have to worry about anything. If they decide not to borrow, then maybe we need to pray about doing something. Well, the board makes a decision on the midnight hour before, you know, people are coming for the summer, not to borrow. And to pray and say, God, release some funds so we can keep moving. That night, I'm just wrestling, because in my head there's this $25,000 amount that we should give. Now, it's more than my salary, but it's $25,000. And so I'm wrestling, and midnight comes and goes, and I'm wrestling, and 1 o'clock comes and goes, and I'm wrestling, and 2 o'clock comes and goes, and I'm wrestling, and 3 o'clock comes, and I'm still wrestling. I don't want to let this money go. My hands are tight. I'm not being open-handed. I'm being tight-fisted. I want to hold on to that. This is more money than I've ever had in my life. And so I don't want to let this thing go. And so I'm just struggling and struggling and struggling. And finally, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up Sandy and I said, honey, I think God wants us to give $25,000 to that lodge project. And she looks over and says, yeah, I agree. And goes back to sleep. You know, and goes back to sleep. And I went, okay, Lord, Okay. And so we went in and we wrote a check for $25,000, which is more than our annual salary. And that project got finished on time. That gave us the impetus we needed. But did you see what would have happened if the bank, if the board would have borrowed? That money would have never been released, and that money would have gotten hold of my heart. We were raising money for that racquetball club when we were trying to buy it, and one guy gave us a $5,000 gift. He says, "I hope this helps with the down payment." I said, "Down payment? We're trying to buy it for cash." He goes, "Oh, okay, then I'll give you $15,000." That quick. $5,000 to $15,000. What was the difference? The difference was we were trusting God to provide, and when he knew that, then his gift tripled. And so sometimes when this whole area of indebtedness, you know, guard your heart. Guard your heart and realize that you can pray and ask God to make provisions in your life. But the other thing is, if you are ever going to borrow for something, don't violate the principle of surety. Don't violate the principle of surety. So what that's going to mean is you're going to have a house that truly has value, or you had a big enough down payment that you could walk away clean. It's going to mean that you can't necessarily buy a new car when you don't have money for a new car. You may have to buy a used car, because if you buy a new car and you drive it off the lot, you just drop 25% in value. My wife and I bought a minivan last year, and it was 1 year old, and it went down $18,000 in value in 1 year. $18,000 in value in 1 year. And so if you're going to live under these principles, one is be praying about things. And I say here, when I put Christ in his word as the master in charge of my finances, he took far better care of me than my master charge ever did. So one, learn to pray. Learn to ask God for his provisions. If you're ever in a situation where you do need to borrow, realize don't violate the principle of surety and take on an obligation without a sure way to pay. If you're in debt, pay off your debts. If you're in deep weeds financially, get help. You don't have to live like that. DaveRamsey.com, Crown.org, and GoodSenseMinistry.com, every one of them have counselors and classes that can help take you. And everybody here, I don't care who you are, I don't care how much debt you have or how big your mortgage is, every single person here could be debt-free 100% within 3 years to 10 years just by being intentional. And imagine if you didn't have a single bill you had to pay every month, you know, by way of indebtedness. How that frees you up in your life. And so hopefully these are things that challenge you and cause you to think. I just so thankful for the Word of God that is such a help in this world, and that we can have a life that can make a difference.